Now, my next interviewee is no stranger to Connemara Community Radio. Astronomy Ireland only means one person. David Moore is the chairperson of Astronomy Ireland. So you're welcome again back to us, David, with amazing stories and things off the sky and the night skies and all this. So before we start at all, David, my technician, by the way, is Linda O'Malley, and I want to thank Linda for helping out today. Linda just mentioned there, I wonder, will we be seeing any more Northern Lights? My question to you is do Northern Lights come under the interest of astronomy, or do they fit in there, or is it something different?
Oh, it's pure astronomy, because they're caused by explosions on the sun. And the radiation, billions of tons of it, crosses the gulf between the Earth and the Sun, about 150 million kilometers, 93 million miles, in 2 days. So we can usually see that flash of the explosion on the Sun. That only takes 8 minutes for the light to get here. And then the radiation is traveling very fast, but a lot slower than light, and takes 2 days. So we actually get warnings. So we have space telescopes watching the Sun 24 hours a day. And up there, there's no clouds to obscure their view. So if we see one of these bursts of radiation coming towards us, we can now more or less predict them and tell people to watch out that particular night. We did it about two Fridays ago, I think it was, two or three. And sure enough, there was a massive display of the aurora. It was quite good before midnight, went a bit quiet then for a while. And then just after midnight, about 12:30, it exploded into view. And I was out in the Irish countryside looking up at rays and red beams and streamers moving across the sky for about a half an hour. A fantastic show. And to answer Linda's question, yes, we're going to get that again. We can only get 2 days' warning, but the sun is very active. It goes through an 11-year cycle, and we're just after the top of the cycle. So we expect a good aurora, probably once a month. Last year, I saw about a dozen of them, and three or four of them were very good. So if you've got your camera ready, smartphone is all you need, you'll be able to photograph them roughly once a month, and you'll get a several great displays during the year. And the thing is, just go to Astronomy Ireland's website, look at our social media links, and every day at 4 o'clock, we post a prediction, is there going to be an aurora or not? We've been doing it for 30 years or more, I think it is, the longest-running Northern Lights Prediction Service in Ireland.
Brilliant. And I see Linda smiling from ear to ear because she must love her Northern Lights to get a great view of them back there in Rinvile. To me, it seems to be quite a new phenomenon. They seem to be more colourful and more frequent. What's happening there? I just saw them years ago coming up the Aina Valley, and they were like columns going up into the sky. Not that colourful, but they seem everybody's talking about them nowadays. Has something changed?
Yeah, we're all interconnected. It's the internet, especially smartphones. If that happened when you're walking along, how would you find out about it? If you go back far enough, people could hardly even afford landlines. And so, you know, the newspapers were the best way. Maybe the radio stations of keeping in touch, and they wouldn't tend to be on the middle of the night as much as they are now. Yeah. So once an aurora happens, everybody shares the information. Everybody goes out and looks. You'd be hard-pushed to miss it these days. And people know that they can get a great view as well because they've seen the camera phones putting all the pictures on Instagram, Facebook, X account, all those things. Yeah. So they know what to look for. Yeah. And they can get notifications in seconds. And if they're really keen, they can follow our social media and actually be waiting for it. Aurora alert last night. We'll be doing the 4 o'clock prediction shortly, and that may actually extend into today. So it could actually be a bit of a Northern Light today as well. And if not, there will be one next week.
Yeah. So I'm not really correct in saying that they're more colourful of late, that they were always more or less the same intensity, were they?
Yeah. The sun hasn't changed for millions of years. So the Northern Lights have been very similar for a long time. But because people don't realize that we're all carrying around in our pockets this powerful astronomical camera. And at night, it can outperform the human eye. Most of them have a night mode or manual mode, where you can make them take long exposures. And little lenses may be smaller than the pupils of our eyes, but we're like video cameras. We're seeing several pictures a second. The camera can take a picture for 5, 10, some even 30 seconds, and they'll record stars far fainter than you can see with your eyes. I've seen the cheapest of the camera's phones take pictures that are as good as the faint stars you'll see in a big pair of binoculars. So powerful astronomical camera in your pocket, and of course their colour as well. The dim aurora, the human eye doesn't see them as colour. They look a bit greyish. It's only when they're big and bright that our eyes start to see the colour, whereas the camera phones see it all the time. So they're better than your eyes for the northern lights. And we had a public lecture for our Christmas lecture last year about smartphone astronomy, telling people how to do it, even better because it's often just point and shoot, and that'll do. And the lady who gave it, she had given up all of her expensive camera equipment just to use her smartphone. They're that good for astronomy. Yeah.
Now, David, I know you're so passionate about this, and we all love the Northern Lights and talking about it, and it's a great clarification there about the importance of our phones and how they intensify the colours and that. But you could talk to us here for a day without stopping. But you came on to us to tell us about a lot of other things like meteor showers. And so we let you come on. I kind of led you down a road there probably you hadn't planned, but I think it's very useful. But we'll go back now to what is of interest to you yourself and the month of April in our skies.
Yeah, well, my real role in astronomy is editing Astronomy Ireland magazine. The main part I do is write the sky notes, the sky diary, what to see in the sky every month. And there's always loads. There's always something spectacular every week. So if I tell people, the magazine pops through your letterbox, immediately go to page 22, not because it's the article I write, but on the opening page of that, the sky diary, you'll see the highlights box. And that tells you, you know, the big things that are coming. Is there an eclipse this month? Is the planet Jupiter going to be near the moon, which is a spectacular sight to the naked eye? And things like that. So, for instance, this week we have the full moon, and it's called the pink moon because pink blossoms come out at this time of year. And people look to photograph the full moon rising next to buildings, statues, landmarks, even people. And we ask them to send them in their best photograph. And on Thursday night, when this is going out, people will be able to see the bright star Spica, one of the brightest stars in the sky, right next to the full pink moon as well. So we definitely want them to try and get a snap of that if they possibly can. And then it goes on. In the evening sky, we've got Jupiter blazing away all month long, brightest thing up there as soon as it gets dark until well after midnight. So don't miss that. And if you're watching just at sunset, you'll see another brilliant star, in quotes, very low down in the west where the sun sets. That's actually the planet Venus. It's coming into evening skies now. Venus and Jupiter are very far apart. You'll just be able to see them, you know, one corner of your field of view to the other. But they're going to get closer and closer until early June, when they'll pass extremely close to one another. That's one of the big highlights of the year, to see the two brightest star-like objects in the sky so close together. I can't remember the last time that happened. So there's always lots of things like that in Astronomy Island magazine. As soon as you join, we instantly email you the sky notes, and then the magazine will appear a few days later in the post. So, because we want to get people out watching things like this. I mean, on April the 19th, we've got the Pleiades star cluster near the moon. Brilliant sight with the naked eye, and if you've got a pair of binoculars, even better. On the 22nd of April, Jupiter will be very close to the moon. And Venus actually passes by the Seven Sisters or Pleiades star cluster around the 23rd of April. You'll see it, the two of them in your binoculars for about a week either side of that. And one of the big things coming is that there are two bright comets called Comet MAPS and Comet Pan-STARRS. Now, MAPS this weekend goes extremely close to the sun. It may actually be vaporized, but if it doesn't, it might come out the other side, and all next week we'll see very low down in the west this huge comet with a big long tail on it. It's vaporized, we won't see it, and comets are difficult to predict, so we're going to have to see what happens over the weekend. The other comet, Comet Pan-STARRS, only problem that is you have to get up at dawn, but but I've already seen and photographed it in my telescope, and it's going to become visible to the naked eye in the first half of April, and then it goes down south and we won't see it again. So we've written all about that, and if you're a member of Astronomy On, you've already got that information. If not, join up and get it, all the maps and everything else.
We should indeed. Like, there's a lot of interest, you know, for people in the night sky. And we're lucky enough out here that our skies are still fairly clear of light pollution. So it's a good place to watch. Or people know a better place anyway near at hand to watch the stars and things off the night sky.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I've been lucky to be over in the west and all the way up to the north and Donegal down to Kerry. And there are some brilliantly dark skies. We're lucky here in Ireland because, okay, the weather is mostly cloudy, but when it is clear, we have one of the lowest population densities in the European Union, and most of them are living in Dublin, Cork and Belfast. So out in rural locations where there are plenty roads to get access to these dark skies, there's practically nobody living there. So all you get is a bit of a glow in the distance of the nearest town, and people have great access to the skies. If you go and live in a city like London, you're looking at a 4 or 5 hour drive to get the same thing we can get, even if you live in a city, in a half an hour. So you would never bother if you lived in London. But here in Ireland, it's almost on our doorstep, shall we say. And for at least 2/3 of the population who don't live in the cities, well, they've got glorious skies. And every time it's clear, there's always something to see. It's just looking at the star patterns, and often one of those highlights that I told you about that are in the magazine every month. So, you know, circle those ones on your calendar if you live in the countryside, because all you've got to do is step outside and look up.
Yeah, what we take for granted. I remember years ago we had a group down here from Belfast, and one woman was just taken by the night sky, and she was looking at Cassiopeia, and they're saying, like, in Belfast even, that it's very hard to see this. She was just amazed at the vividness of the sky, and this was in the village of Letterfrack, like, it was, you know, but she said it was so much better. Now, to our listeners, the full pink moon, it's called, the full moon is on the 2nd of April, and that's the moon, it's called, I see here, the Paschal full moon, that's used to determine when Easter Sunday falls. So it's an interesting moon.
The date of Easter is set by astronomy. It's the first Sunday after the first full moon, after the March equinox. They've always defined the March equinox to be exactly March 21, even though can be on the 20th, but for the religious calendar, it's March 21. So you look on your calendar, when's the first full moon after that? Answer, like you said, April 2nd. And then that's a Thursday. When's the Sunday after that? April 5th. There's the date of Easter for you. So it depends on the moon. That's why it's a variable feast that happens at a different time each year.
Okay. And there's meteor showers happening all through the month too, is there, David?
There is a minor one called the Lyrid meteor shower, but even the big ones for the general public, you know, they want to step outside their brightly lit kitchen, look up and see lots of shooting stars. You've got to sort of wrap up well and wait 10 or 15 minutes for the first one and maybe 5 to 10 minutes for the next one. So we reserve sort of getting the general public interested in meteor showers for the big one in August called the Perseids. And the big, even bigger one now in December called the Geminids, because they can produce one a minute or so, I've seen, from a dark rural sky. So astronomy.ie is where you'll get our social media links for free. And to be a member of this club, get the magazine, all the other information. There's a weekly email, for example. It costs about €1 a week. Who can't afford that? So if you count astronomy as one of your hobbies, sign up for Astronomy Ireland, and we'll make sure you never miss a thing. It is the world's most popular astronomy society, and the reason it's that is that we're trying to get everybody, even people with no interest in astronomy, they don't know what they're missing, and we want them to join Astronomy Ireland.
Yeah, it is well worth getting into, all right, and astronomy.ie is simple enough. That'll be the starting point. So the two planets, again, just to finish up, but we're out of time, David, you have Jupiter and Venus are the big planets this time for April.
Yeah, we do this every month. So for the month of April, Jupiter high up, blazing away, brightest thing in the sky until after midnight, and Venus only visible just after the sun sets, low in the west, where the sun goes down.
David, we'll leave it at that. You're a joy to talk to, and it is a very interesting world. It's the other world out there that a lot of people we just take for granted living here in the West. So just outside the door, step out on a dark night and see the wonders of creation and all the amazing stuff that's above us in the sky. So we can some by the naked eye and a simple binoculars, and David will advise us all if we go into astronomy.ie. So thanks so much, David, and happy Easter.
No problem. If people have any questions, they can see the Contact Us page there. Even a thing called HubSpot. You can ask questions online and we'll answer them all. Thanks for talking to me.
Thank you indeed.
Bye-bye.